Welcome back to Athens Happens. I'm Izzy Keller, managing editor of The New Political.
And I'm Aidan McDougall, digital content producer for The New Political.
Athens Happens is a podcast brought to you by The New Political, a student publication dedicated to explaining the nuances of Ohio University, Athens, and state politics.
You can find new episodes at thenewpolitical.com or wherever else podcasts can be downloaded.
In the Ohio General Assembly, a new controversial bill aims to change multiple facets of higher education. The bill is SB, or Senate Bill 83, also known as the Ohio Higher Education Enhancement Act.
The bill, which is still in committee, would ban mandatory DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion training, bans relationships with the People's Republic of China, and, as the bill states, Confucius institutions. This bill also bans striking and forms of collective bargaining. The bill would require U.S. history and government classes for any student to earn a bachelor's or associate's degree as well. While Senate Bill 83 is a ways away from being signed into law, it has potential to change higher education as we know it.
Today, we are talking with Haley Gifford, president of ACLU of Ohio University, about this bill and its potential implications. Hi, Haley. Thanks for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi. Yeah, I can. So I'm a first-year master's student in our Master's for Environmental Studies program at Voinovich here at OU. I'm also the director for the ACLU of Ohio University on campus, which is why I'm here. I also have a golden retriever named Winston, and he's going to be 5 this month.
Wow. 5 years old?
Yeah.
He's so cute.
5 years old.
Really? Was he named after Winston Churchill, or did you just like the name?
I prefer Winston Bishop from New Girl.
That's not to be political.
Much
but
better.
But did you get your bachelor's from OU?
Oh, yeah, I did.
What was it in?
It was in, so my BA is in political science, and I also have a minor in sociology.
Very cool.
None of the opinions or views expressed in this are the views of the ACLU of Ohio or ACLU nationwide. Just mine.
Right. We're here with Haley as Haley, not as director of the ACLU of OU.
Exactly.
So Aidan's going to explain a little bit about the bill. He is very much interested in legislative policy and can explain it better than I can even imagine.
Yeah, I am a political science pre-law major with a minor in history and a certificate in law, justice, and culture, also a certificate in women's gender sexuality studies. But I think this bill just goes to change rules aimed to end bias in classrooms and on campus by ending diversity training mandates, cutting off relations with Chinese universities, and this is just a far-reaching Republican rhetoric of a bill that will change how students learn and how professors will teach at higher education institutions, specifically in Ohio.
All right. Thank you for that clarification. So my first question for Haley is, what is your view on the bill?
My first reaction to the bill, I'll tell you that first, is that I was terrified when I read it. Kind of as soon as it came out, the sponsor for the bill is from my county, Lake County. And so that was disheartening. Always disheartening when he sponsors a bill, I'm not gonna lie. But when I read it, I was immediately thinking about my research. Honestly, my research is environmental justice, specifically the displacement of Black and Indigenous communities in the creation of our national parks. And if this bill gets signed into law, I won't be able to do that at all. Not only study climate change, but also studying how it impacts minority communities.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was more concerned and annoyed with it, just the fact that they're claiming that this bill will just, the sponsor himself even said that it will ensure Ohio students are educated by means of free, open, and rigorous intellectual integrity to seek the truth. And just cutting off these programs and, like, relations with other countries and limiting access to international students, it doesn't add any rigorous or intellectual inquiry, like, and just for the notion of truth, you're just cutting off everything related to diversity, equity, and inclusion just by that training and those courses that are currently required. But yeah.
That's a really great point, that it literally does not add a single thing besides mandatory classes on the Constitution, which if you're a political science major or anywhere interested in law or justice, you have to take that class anyway. But all it does is take out and take out and take out and cut from pretty much, well, I won't say all departments because, you know, like business and stuff probably won't be affected as hard, but for me and Aidan especially, just totally what would we even study at that point?
Right. And there's already issues at Ohio University with the political science department. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for both of you, and I'm a political science minor, so, you know, of course, like 90% of the political science classes are going to be about U.S. government and politics. You know, what parts of the bill are the most concerning to you?
For me, I would say it requires treating like outside facts. I'm going to call them facts, but know that if you're listening, I have quotation marks in my hands, facts, or outside opinions about controversial topics, which they list out as climate change. Climate change is not an opinion. I want to start there.
No, it's not.
It is a scientific fact. And so that's kind of what I meant if I was, you know, talking about my research. Like, if they bring in people who are saying, well, I believe that climate change isn't real, and I have to sit and listen to that in class, and that's being taught as if that is factual, it's just misinformation.
Right. And I think it's disinformation. I mean, you're knowingly telling people things that aren't true by, you know, by the state. It's not, I don't think the professors would get a say in whether or not they have a choice in that. But I think it kind of shows like the both sides-ism that we're kind of facing today with like, you know, if you don't show both sides and it's not the full truth. But sometimes things just aren't true.
Exactly. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that political science is, politics isn't opinion. It's based in theory. It is all based in theory. So even if you interpret the theory differently, it's all stemming from the same place. So how are you going to come in and have someone say, well, actually, that's wrong, and I'm going to give you this counter opinion. We have to treat that the same as we treat our professors with degrees in these topics. It's really frustrating.
And decades of research and, you know, lived experiences, stuff like that.
Yeah, Aiden, exactly.
No,
you're good.
Aiden, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Oh, so I think the biggest thing that I was taken back with was the bans on striking and forms of collective bargaining, because in this bill, it doesn't just limit, and I mean, it does, but it's not just employees of any state institution or higher education. It also bans the ability to strike if you're a sheriff, if you're anywhere in law enforcement, if you're an employee of any public retirement system, members of like an exclusive nurses unit. I just feel like this just attacks the First Amendment we have in the United States itself. And they want us to learn the Constitution. All three of us in this room know it. All three of us know the First Amendment. But I just think attacking that is just an attack on our rights as people. And yeah.
It also totally disempowers unions 100%.
Yes.
Not the only power, I won't say that, but the biggest power that unions have is the ability to strike. And so if they have that, higher institutions, they'll have no reason to negotiate. They'll have no incentive to negotiate. They're going to say, here's your contract. That's it, point blank, period. And what are professors going to do because they can't strike?
They probably can't go anywhere else either because it's the same deal.
Exactly.
But I felt like that's illegal. When you talked to me about that and I read it, I thought that that was like illegal. I don't know if they can do that. I'm sure that they could, or it would go into some years long court battle that would go state, federal, so on and so forth.
It would absolutely, they would get sued. 100%.
Immediately. Ton of people would probably sue.
Yeah, I agree.
And I mean, it also has, for any institution, public or private, that doesn't want to follow these rules, just the state removes their state funding. Like, if they don't want to follow these bans or these requirements, they will just remove any and all state funding. So, like, professors strike, says they can't, and they'll just get a little slap on the wrist the first time, technically, but the second time, the universities themselves will just lose all state funding.
Yeah. Public and private universities,
yes.
Too. So, yeah. OU without state funding.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you think this bill, if signed into law, could affect higher education institutions and current or prospective students seeking a higher education?
If, and big if, this is signed into law, I think not only will it deter future students from looking at universities in Ohio to go to school, but it's also going to push out the students that they already have. As I mentioned earlier, if this gets signed into law, I won't have any research. My entire field of study will probably be a joke, in all honesty. So, and I know that's, it's the same way for a ton of people. I mean, I'm not the only person at OU studying climate science and environmental politics.
It would probably affect, like, my roommate was a criminology sociology major. Like, I don't think she'd have a major anymore.
Mm-mm. No, it also creates an administrative nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how they would even begin to navigate all of the things outlined in this bill. It just restricts so much.
I mean, I think it'll affect any and all incoming students, because I know if this gets signed into law, it won't go in effect until 2026, 2027, which by the time, that means I'll be out of undergrad. But for any students coming in the next 2 or 3 years, that will affect them by the time they're ending their higher education. But even if signed into law, and like kind of mentioned earlier, someone in the College of Fine Arts will now have to take a class on the Constitution. I mean, they'll also have to read essays from the Federalist Papers, and I don't think that really pertains to what they're seeking. They're here to learn about fine arts, not government issues. And I think, for, like Haley said, it will deter certain students from even seeking higher education in itself, which, in theory, as some of us kind of understand, this would help the Republican Party, because most people that are voting blue are college educated and understand most issues. Not to say Republicans don't understand most issues, but majority of them aren't college educated voters.
I'll say it.
I said it and I went, well,
here. Order in the court. I'm not even kidding, guys. I wrote a rap on Monday for my climate communication class. This is how it went. I'll sing it for the pod.
Can we have it close out with this?
Yes, literally, this is how it goes. Climate change is bad. Climate change is bad. Climate change is bad. Let me tell you why. You got tree hugging liberals and CEOs. And they both influence how the narrative goes. The tree hugging tree hugging. What is even the next part? Something about CEOs only wanting economic gain or something. Anyway.
Did you perform it?
We did. In front of the class.
I mean, that was pretty good.
But I wasn't rapping, I was beatboxing.
Oh my god. Did you do it like a...
I was doing that.
That's incredible.
Okay, I'm sorry this to derail.
This is why everyone thinks that political science and journalism kids are theater majors.
Exactly.
We're like theater kids. Because we're all just like... too into...
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, you're good.
So I guess the biggest question I have is, do you think this bill will pass Ohio Senate, Ohio House, and then sign into law by Mike DeWine?
My political answer is that I really hope not. But my answer is that a lot of the time I don't have a lot of faith in the Ohio legislature. I have a lot of faith in the people of Ohio. So I think that if people show how much this bill is going to impact them and how negatively it will impact them, then I think that could sway the legislature enough to be like, no, we're not going to do this. I think DeWine has some common sense. And I don't want to say that I have faith in him to not sign this bill. But I really hope that he doesn't.
So DeWine kind of, the things that he likes and the things he doesn't like kind of sway with the wind.
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking about Aiden's experience as at the fireworks store and at the fireworks bill. So I was just, you know.
Yeah, he's very hit or miss. So I don't know. There are some crazy ass Republicans in the Senate. And they scare me. Because they introduce bills like this and then they make people want this to be law. And it's a horrible idea.
Aiden, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I mean, I guess my answer falls in line with Haley, kind of a lot of not really having a whole lot of faith in like Ohio House, Ohio Senate, or even DeWine himself, just because, I mean, even taking a step back and like looking at what has been passed in like the last couple of years, and even I know Haley's in charge of the signatures to keep abortion. But I think that is kind of DeWine's passion project right now. I hate to call it that because it just is annoying that that's what his focus is on. Just another right that he wants to take away, which this one will do again. But I just don't want it to pass either House, or I don't want it to pass Senate, but I think it will. I'm not crazy sure, but I think it will. House, I'm still debating. DeWine, it's up in the air for me, and I would hope that he wouldn't. I hope he'd veto it, and it just dies again, or actually dies. But, I just hope it doesn't get signed into law, because this will just affect students now, any prospective students, any public or private institution in the state of Ohio.
I think I'm holding out for DeWine solely because the economic impact of this, of people not coming to Ohio University, not bringing research, well, not Ohio University specifically, but Ohio universities, Ohio University included. But I'm holding out that since it'll be like detrimental to the economy, that maybe they can see that and DeWine will be like, no, this is a really bad idea. We're not bringing in research, we're not bringing in new students, we're not bringing in anything, that hopefully that will sway him enough to be like, no.
The things that he likes and doesn't like weird me out sometimes, because it's like, again, like the fireworks bill, and then they make like one little change and he's like, this is okay.
Yeah,
like it's just, he's just kind of hot and cold. But I never really thought about the economic impact. I usually don't think about like the educational or the social or the political impact of it. That's a really good point to bring up. But our next question is going to be, do you think that public and/or private institutions should lobby against this bill? Why or why not?
I'm going to say yes. I think institutions should be doing everything in their power to go against this bill. And I think that if they care about their students, they will.
Yeah. Aiden?
Yeah, I mean, I totally think they should lobby against it. I think that the universities should, all universities across Ohio should step in and say something. I mean, there might be a handful that agree with it and they can do whatever they want to do, but the ones that disagree with it should say something and just take note of what the student body actually wants to see. And I know this also affects administrative persons as well, and they can step in and say whatever they want, but I feel like they should definitely lobby against it just to keep the resources and keep an influx of students who want to seek a higher education.
I also just wanted to add that specifically at Ohio University, I mean, they've already seen, at least in the past 3 years, we've circulated 3 petitions on behalf of the Political Science Department and the Center for Law, Justice, and Culture due to the cuts that they've done to our program already. So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to expect if they cut our program entirely. It's not going to be good.
I remember my freshman year, I think it was, it might have been 2021, they had a huge protest for the Center for Law, Justice, and Culture on, I think it was on College Green.
When were you a freshman?
2021, that spring.
Yeah, I think that was us. I think that was me. Was it at the statue?
I didn't cover it. Maddie, our editor-in-chief, did. We were freshmen at the time, so it's kind of weird to think back at that. Yeah. But, like, I remember that was, like, a big discussion.
No, that was 100%. That was 100% us. That's the CLJC is what we're... Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were they trying to, can you remind me about that? Were they trying to cut it or?
Yeah, they were trying to, Larry Heyman, our pre-law advisor, and he's our advisor for all of our pre-law organizations. They were trying to remove his position, which was super detrimental, obviously, to the entire program. So right. we made a petition and we protested against it. We left it on the doors of,
Chubball.
No.
Cutler.
Cutler.
For then President Dwayne Nellis. Mm-hmm. But and Heyman's still here. Yes. I know that for a fact. Yep. So it was successful.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he still has his position. He has 2 offices now, but I mean, honestly, a win for him. More office space, right?
that's true. But in that same like vein, what do you think that students or, you know, even faculty should do to help protest this bill?
Write letters, call your representatives. I know everybody says it, but I'm serious. The only way that they're going to hear you is if you make them hear you. I know we're working on organizing a letter writing campaign for the ACLU of Ohio University. So if you're interested in that, I guess find me on Bobcat Connect. I don't know how I plug myself here, but yeah, letter writing campaigns, even just with your friends, like just sit and write to Representative What's-His-Face from Kirtland, Ohio, and say, hey, this is a horrible bill. I'm really against it. Period. Send it. Write letters calling, protesting, talking about it with your family. Some of you guys got rich parents that donate money to universities. Talk to them about it.
Jerry Serino, I think, is his or yeah, yeah, Serino, that's his name.
Yeah, him.
I think the biggest thing I have to add on to what you just said, Haley, was, is I think people, I mean, most people know, most people get it, but it's the fact that these senators, these representatives represent you. You are their constituents. They work for you. Mm-hmm. Some of them go in here and they introduce this legislation that inevitably will work against us as constituents in the state of Ohio, but it is us reaching out, us acting on what we think and what we believe that will get, I hope, the best results and what the constituents actually want to see.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes it's hard when you talk about political issues because everybody tells you to be active, be active, be active, and like call everybody that you can call. And sometimes you just want to sit back and let people do it for you, but that's not how we're going to get change. So just keep that in mind.
I really like what both of you had to say. I really like particularly you, Aiden, had to say. And I think that a big part of like the new political and the ACLU is like, you know, reminding people that they're officials, whether they're in student senate, whether they're on city council, whether they're in the state house, whether they're in, you know, the Capitol, whether they're in the White House, they work for you. And reminding them, you know, reminding people that they do that, and then they're accountable to you in, you know, using your voice in whatever kind of good ways, whatever.
Now, with us being in Athens and all students of Ohio University, do you think OU should release a statement on Senate Bill 83?
100%. I do. Yeah.
What would you like that statement to say?
I think if Ohio University wrote a statement, it would have to say, we strongly oppose Senate Bill 83 and are disheartened at its circulation in the Ohio legislature, and we hope that we never have to see it pass into law.
But yeah, I totally agree with what Haley said, and I think that there should be a statement on it either, you know, I think based on student body, it'd definitely be against, and I think based on administrators, it'd definitely be against, and I think as many universities reaching out and saying whatever they can in their own capacity should definitely be seen by students, by parents of students, by administrators, by the Board of Trustees, just that collective group of academia that we all could just reach out and just say, hey, Mr. Senator, Mrs. Senator, they, them Senator, if we have one. But it'd be really cool if you didn't do this.
And soon, please.
Absolutely.
So if Ohio University were to release a statement, they wouldn't be the first university in Ohio to do so. Some other universities have also released statements, like Bowling Green. Aiden will go through it.
Yes. So there's a handful of universities that have already published statements, and one of them, well, there's three that I have in front of me right now, but one of them's from Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio, and it's by David Jackson, the Faculty Association President, and he's a poli-sci professor at BGSU, and he said, the bill is radical reconstructing of higher education in the state of Ohio. It would undermine all institutions in terms of the work they have done to become places where students from all backgrounds feel welcomed and are able to thrive. It's not just unnecessary, it's destructive. And then the president of Wright State University, Sue Edwards, she said, this proposed legislation is extensive and as it's currently written will impact several areas of Wright State University operations, including university mission statements, diversity, equity, and inclusion policies and practice. But finally is from Steve Maccabee from the University of Cincinnati. They are the Association of University Professors, their chair, and they said, our system of higher education has thrived largely because it has embraced the principle of academic freedom. If our system is undermined to the point that we can no longer recruit and retain good faculty and recruit excellent students, our universities and colleges will suffer. Also stating that this bill is, quote, a culture war.
Yeah. But I think another thing that I don't think people are really thinking about with this bill is the effect that it will have on programs within universities. So that would be at OU, the Women's Center, the Multicultural Center, the probably health promotions. A lot of the student orgs here, the Black Student Union, the Black Communication Caucus, the Black Student Communication Caucus, NAACP. Trying to think of what other ones we've had. We have so many different orgs.
Yeah, I mean, like any international community group ever.
I mean, it'll have a really horrible impact on grad students, especially, you know, international grad students.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just don't think that that side of the bill is being, you know, really shown. It's more about other stuff. Anything anyone else wants to add about that?
Because even with this bill and at Ohio University, I think, I don't remember exactly, but our, like, percentage of international students, I think 30% are from China. And with this bill going through, it'll cut off any and all influx or introduction to students from China who want to come over here. And just, like, it's just annoying and it's dumb to just limit international relations between students or any student in a
I was just gonna say that, again, to beat the dead economy horse, that, like, it's a horrible decision. It makes zero sense. At the end of the day, universities are institutions. They're here to make money, period. They're not here to cut off an entire population of people because why? Doesn't make sense.
It's also, let's not beat around it. It's xenophobic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, banning people from coming, people from an entire nation, an entire group of people from coming here, that's hateful. Like, we're not, you know, DEI initiatives get such a bad rep, but, like, in the same point, like, you know, what does and doesn't count as a DEI initiative, I think, is a big thing, too, because, you know, is Title IX a DEI initiative? I mean, it aims to, you know, improving equality at schools, but it's also federal law. You know, we can't pick and choose what is and isn't allowed based off of what somebody off of Facebook says. And I think that that's, you know, that's part of the culture war, is that people just don't think through things and see history, weirdly enough.
It's also completely unprompted.
Right.
100%. Like, out of left field. No matter what your views on the Chinese government, on American politics, the international students coming here to contribute to our universities and our research, they have nothing to do with that.
It's not their fault. It's not their fault that, you know, this is the kind of government that they come from. In the same way, it's not our fault that this is the kind of government we come from.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you're not punishing anybody other than, honestly, yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with what both of you said entirely, but even just expanding on it more of what, like, Izzy said about the xenophobia of it, it's a lot more than that. I mean, it is, but it's a lot more than that. I mean, the bill is just blatantly racist, anti-trans, anti-feminist, homophobic, anti-union. It's fake free speech. That's what this bill is. That's what, if it goes through, it just limits any and all perspective that isn't white, American, Christian, conservative, Republican rhetoric that we've seen time and time again for the last however many years. Something that universities and higher education institutions have tried to promote, tried to benefit, tried to actually teach from a position to where before that wasn't taught because to them it didn't matter. And now to be at a place to where these things are all being introduced to us as students and learning these new perspectives, to introduce a bill that just cuts it off, just puts us right back at square one of just early America, mid America, modern America, just limiting people for basic information and knowledge.
And it's not even surprising.
It's not. No, this has happened in Florida. It's happened in Texas. It's happened in other states. And it's just like, we were kind of saying earlier that OU kind of does whatever OSU does. It's the same with, like, these kinds of, like, kind of red states like Ohio. They see what Florida does or what Texas does, and they just go and do the same thing. Or, like, Mississippi, some places in the Deep South, too.
So, yes, that. But I also meant it a little bit deeper than that. That at the base of every Republican piece of legislation that we see is racist, homophobic, anti-women rhetoric. Every single one. And so every time I hear something that was like, oh, Republican in the House introduced this bill, it's just like this feeling of like, okay, here we go again. What am I going to have to organize around this time?
Right.
So it's not surprising in the sense that, yeah, people are doing it in other states. And so we shouldn't have been surprised that predominantly red Ohio is next on the list, but also that in American politics in general, Republicans have kind of taken a leap to the far right. And that's what we hear about most.
But since we are on the note of politics and all of us are related to the political science major or minor in some way, something I've said time and time again is that the Republican Party praises and raises the idea of open and free democracy and everyone's freedoms. But what we've seen time and time again with legislation and even any political statement at any political rally, they just want to take these freedoms away from everyone who's not a white male in America who follows the Christian religion in any way.
Also, while we're talking about the Republican Party, explain to me how this is small government.
It is a very big overreach to literally everyone in higher education or anyone currently in high school who wants to go into a higher education. Like, that's the best I can explain it.
Yeah.
I wish that they could see your faces. This is just
no,
like...
I know. I'm like, we need to...
You're very, like... What's the word?
Animated.
Like, animated. That's the right word. I was going to say expressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add, Haley?
Also, ACLU meets at 6 p.m. in Bentley 132. And anybody is welcome to join. We have no major requirements or year requirements or anything like that. So find us on Bobcat Connect or Instagram at ACLU. Let me look. Actually, I'll get back to you on that.
I just looked it up earlier.
I think it's just ACLU.OU, but I'm not sure. Oh, it's ACLU.OHIO. So look us up on So look us up on Bobcat Connect or look us up on Instagram at ACLU.OHIO. Love you all. Bye.
That was Haley.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Athens Happens. Make sure to check us out at thenewpolitical.com for more podcast episodes and other content. Thank you, and until next time.